The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
John chapter 6. I'll walk through this introduction to this passage in a little bit. But Jesus preached a hard sermon. People wasn't willing to accept it. Many of the crowd fell out by his wayside. Many of those who followed him on a regular basis, which were called his disciples, fell out on the wayside. And in verse 66, Jesus, as a result of that, it said many of the disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. And Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Father, we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds today to you. Help us to know beyond any doubt that you're the one who can meet our needs. And you're the only one who can really meet our needs. We pray that you'll bring us today on this first Sunday of a new year to the place of renewal, commitment. We pray for a revival in our church. We again pray for Megaforce Ministries and for Steve Carrier. We pray for souls to be saved, brought into kingdom. We pray today that we would be obedient to you as we worship. In Jesus' name. One day the Apostle Paul looked out upon the life in which he was facing. He thought of all the problems he saw in the world. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You can see some of the difficulties Paul had. He was faced with trials, with difficulties. He was beaten. He was, dumped in the sea. He goes through a list of all the things that had happened and taken place in him, had been, beaten and persecuted for the sake of Christ. And then he said in that passage, "But one of my greatest concerns is the concern for the church." But all of those troubles and burdens, and he asked in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, he asked this question. He said, "Who is sufficient for all these things?" New American Standard translates, "Who is adequate to meet those needs?" Now today we look out at our world. Today's a new year. And folks, I hear it every week. We look out at where we are at the present time, and I hear people say, "I wish it was like it used to be. Where are all the people? What has happened? What's going to happen if they don't come back?" Well, my response to that is you look at the circumstance and situation of where we've been. Both people who are dead can't come back. And people who are sick and in the nursing homes and elderly and can't get out and whatever, they can't come back. So if you want a crowd here, you better start looking to the future, not to the past. Now that's just, that's the bottom line. I have people that literally get upset with me because I tell them that. Well, the people who have come to this church and decided to leave and go to other churches, they left because at that moment they believed it was the Lord's will. They're not coming back either. And I've talked to some of them this week. They're not coming back. So how are we going to succeed and move towards the future in our church? Well, I'll tell you, instead of sitting here looking towards the back, we need to forget those things. Paul said, "This one thing I do, forgetting the things that lie behind, I press on towards the things that lies ahead." So what do? We need to forget, number one, the failures of the past. And there are failures. All of us have failed. I failed. You failed. This church has failed. All of us have failed because we're all sinners. So what do? We forget those things that are, and the failures. We don't live on the failures. And we don't sit around saying, "Well, we tried that one time. Didn't work." Okay. We need to forget about the successes. You can't live out of past successes. You say, "People, well, it used to be that we had this great time of revival when we came into the church and a lot of people come in and whatever, and we just kind of live out of those successes. And, I came to church and I had this great, wonderful feeling. Everything was going to be great and wonderful, and God was on, I was on fire for God. God was moving in our church. And, but now it's not that way. And so we try to live off the past success." Well, why is it not that way? Well, I read a quote by Leonard Ravenhill. Leonard Ravenhill is one of my favorite preachers. He was a sharp-tongued, straightforward, but he didn't give any slack at all. I remember he spoke at Louisiana College, And I still remember saying, he said, Luzerne College, he said, just because you have athlete's feet don't make you an athlete. And just because you go to church don't make you a Christian. Well, there has to be some kind of commitment. And I read a quote by him this week who said the church used to be a mighty army marching across the world and conquering it for Christ. And today, he said, we're a cruise ship which are sailing along easy, you know, and are not doing what we ought to do. You know, we want to, but when the gospel starts making demands upon our lives, we're living in a world where we don't like to do that. But I'm telling you, if the future of our church depends upon us making a commitment to God, rededicating ourselves to the Lord, and get committed to reaching people for Christ, begin to read our Bibles, begin to study God's Word, begin to pray, and we've tried everything we can to get people to pray. You know, this morning I was late. I wasn't here this morning because I spoke at North Street Baptist Church prayer breakfast this morning and had prayer with them. But 99% of the time, I spend the first 5 to 10, 15 minutes in a prayer room by myself every Sunday morning because, you know, praying. You know, we come to prayer meeting. We got a handful of people that comes. And I'm not trying to fuss. I'm trying to say, hey, that's got to be a new commitment to prayer. We're not going to see the movement of God until we fall upon our faces before God and cry out unto Him for forgiveness and for power and for strength for God to do something in our midst and in our church and in our community. We want God to move, then folks, we've got to do it. And we start praying. I tell you what will happen when you start praying. He starts speaking to us about what we need to do and He'll change our life and we'll get busy. We'll become that mighty army that marches into the community to conquer for Christ and things will change. God will bless that. He'll pour out His Spirit upon us and we'll begin to see people come into the kingdom of God and to be saved. But I tell you, if we just keep on doing the same thing we've always done, then we're going to get what we've always got. Folks, I'm telling you, something has to happen where we sanctify ourselves anew to the Lord and to say, this is a day of dedication. This is a day of surrender. Now, in our text this morning, Jesus had done marvelous miracles. In John chapter 5, Jesus had fed the 5,000. Well, John chapter 6, Jesus had fed the 5,000. Verse 9 said, there was a lad who had 5 loaves of barley and 2 fish. And disciples were saying, what is that with all of these people we got? So Jesus told them to sit down. And the number was about 5,000. And He took the loaves. He gave thanks. He distributed it. They ate. Verse 12 said they were filled. He said to the disciples, gather up the fragments left over. There was 12 basketfuls left over. Now you keep reading that story and you find that that night after He dismissed the crowd, fed them and dismissed them, He told the disciples to go across the Sea of Galilee on the Capernaum and He went off to the place of prayer. And He prayed and the disciples got in trouble that night. You remember the story. The storm came. It was doing. And disciples who had just seen God work miracles with 5 little pieces of bread and 2 fish, they began to cry out they were going to die. Jesus saw them in trouble, rowing against the winds, and He came walking on the water. You know the story of that. Peter said, Lord, if it's really You, let me walk on the water. So he stepped out on the water. And then when he did, he got his eyes off Jesus on the storm and he sank. You know? And I tell you, anytime we get our eyes on the storm and all the problems that are going on, we're going to sink. We got to keep our eyes on the Lord. Well, in the process of that, the crowds begin to hunt Jesus. They got fed yesterday. So surely God is going to continue to feed them. So they begin to look for Him. They found Him on the other side of the sea. And they got over there and said, Lord, how did You get over here? Verse 25. They knew He didn't come in a boat because they saw the disciples leave and He didn't leave with them. So how did You get here? And so Jesus answered in verse 26. He said this, truly, truly, I say unto you, seek Me. You seek Me not. Because you saw the signs. But because you ate of the loaves and were filled. He said, do not work for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on Him the Father God has set His seal. In verse 26 He said, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. In verse 40, He said, this is the will of the Father, that everyone who beholds the Son believes in Him and will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last days. Now, they didn't really like that, and so Jesus began to preach to them. They said, give us a sign. Moses gave us manna in the wilderness. And Jesus said, look, I'm giving you my life. I am the bread of life. And whoever eats of this bread shall live forever. Now, you understand what Jesus is saying? They did. That crowd understood him. He's talking about total commitment. He said, you, and whosoever doesn't eat of me, you know, doesn't experience that spiritual life. He's talking about surrender. He's talking about commitment. He's talking about giving Jesus everything, to taking him into our lives and literally letting him become our Lord and our life, the one who sustains us and walks with us and strengthens us and helps us. He is literally the bread of life. And when he said that, they said, this is a difficult statement. We're willing for you to feed us. We like your miracles when you walk on the water. But we want you to keep on doing that. But when you start asking us to give our lives to you and to put you first and to surrender ourselves, well, that's hard. In verse 26, it said, and many of the disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? So they begin to fall. And Jesus said, you know, he heard the disciples grumbling, not the 12 here, but there were other disciples who were following him. He said, does this cause you to stumble? What if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? And the Spirit who gives life is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing, but the words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. And yet some of you don't believe. And he was talking about Judas. And then as they walked on, the crowds fell back, and there was only the 12 apostles walking with Jesus. And Jesus turned and said, you want to leave too? Peter often was at the wrong place, wrong time, said the wrong thing. But folks, right here, he was on target. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Folks, in our world today, don't we actually treat Christ the same way? I'll be honest, you know, I have people tell me, oh, preacher, I don't come to church to be preached at. I want you to preach hope every Sunday. Well, that's not what God called preachers to do, I tell you this. Now, there is hope in the gospel. I'm going to talk about it in a minute. But he also called us to exhort, to preach. Read Timothy. God will have to speak to you about that, not me. Because you won't, you know, if you're set against me preaching about our sin, then you're not going to listen to me anyway. But maybe you'll listen to God. Read Timothy. You let us preach about free grace of God and tell man all that there is about receiving Christ. Let's talk about heaven and the joys of the by. And, you know, we talk about how great a preacher he is. But let him call on people to forsake the world and follow Jesus and give money to carry on the kingdom of God's work and go out into the highways and byways and to be witnesses and to knock on doors and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and help people come to know him and put our personal lives there, put our money there, put our time there, put our effort there to be able to share the grace of Jesus. And folks, we fall by the wayside. That's not what you pay me for. Now I ought to be doing every bit of that. And God is my witness, I try. Now, perfect? Absolutely not. I fail like the rest of you. But folks, when Jesus told this crowd this, and he preached this sermon about giving him everything, they began to fall by the wayside. You know, and Jesus, and he asked the disciples personally, those who have been faithful to him, those who follow them, those who sit at his feet and heard him. He said, when you hear this hard saying, do you want to turn away also? And Peter said, Lord, where do we go? Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And I'll tell you, where else are you going to turn to meet our needs? Folks, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the only one who can meet your need. And he's more concerned about your spiritual needs than he is about your physical needs. Now, I don't mean he won't meet your physical needs. He will. And there's plenty of promises that says he will. But he wants us to be faithful. He's talking about spiritual needs. I don't care who we are, whether we're black or white or rich or poor, ignorant or educated, you know, it doesn't make any difference. But fundamentally, there's some things that we all need, every one of us need. And Jesus is the only one who can meet that need. The first of those needs is, folks, I'm telling you, we're talking about sitting here at a new year. We're looking back at the past, looking towards the future, and then we're looking basically at the present day and saying, this is what we need to do. Well, I tell you, every one of us who are sitting here today, and as we look back on our lives in the past, we have to admit that the first need we have is the forgiveness of our sins. It is our sin that separates us away from God. You know, we're so confused in our world today about salvation. Satan has diluted the gospel to the point that there's just tons and thousands of people out there who believe that we got to do something and add it to the sufficient work of what Jesus did on the cross when he shed his blood for us on the cross. And we have to add something to it. We have to do some works. We have to, you know, add a, but folks, I'm telling you, there's nothing you can do. No work under the law. You can't live a perfect life. And if you could start today to live a perfect life, you still got to deal with all the past sins that you have. You can't erase those. How are we going to get to heaven? How are we going to, you know, experience what God has for us throughout of eternity? I'll tell you, there's only one way. You have to come to the one person who can forgive our sins, and that is Jesus Christ. There is nobody else who can forgive sin. There's no other way to God. Neither is there salvation in the other, for there's none under the name under God given among men whereby you must be saved. Folks, he is the only way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. And I'll tell you, Satan has deluded our world with the lies from hell that we ought to be so tolerant that we ought to accept all these other religions in the world. You know, read the book of Philippians. Paul called those who perverted the gospel dogs. And he wasn't talking about sweet little puppies that we hold in our lap. He was talking about the street scavengers who run around scavenging for food and were vicious and attacked. And I tell you something, we're in a spiritual battle today. We're in a spiritual battle today. Our world's in trouble. Our country's in trouble. We're at a turning point, not only in our church, but in our world today. And if we don't come back to God, we're going to be in real trouble. And I tell you, who can solve that? Who can forgive our sins? Who can change our moral habits? Who can bring us back to commitment, to morality, and to holiness, and to godliness? It is only Jesus Christ. Who can forgive our sins that has separated us away from the God and the truth? Folks, I'm telling you, Jesus is the only one. It is our sin that has caused a gap between us and God. And our God is a holy God who says that the wages of sin is death. And if we don't come through Jesus Christ, then we are going to die and go into an eternal hell and separation away from God. But he says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. He's what we need today. He's the only one who can meet that need. More than any other need in the world you have, your greatest need is a need for the forgiveness of your sin. And Jesus Christ is the only one to do that. Then the second need we have, I don't care who we are, is we need guidance for the present. We need strength and guidance for the present life we live. Now, it's already said, you know, our world's in trouble, our life's in trouble, and oftentimes we shake our head and say, what am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to handle what's going on in my life? And sometimes when it starts piling on, it just seems to pile up and up and up. And you wonder how you're even going to have time to do what needs to be done. And we live in a world that seeking answers to that everywhere in the world. They run off to the worldly psychiatrists and they run off to the fortune tellers and, you know, the psychic networks. And, you know, if all these psychics knew so much, how come they're all not millionaires? Because they win the lottery every week. You know, I'm telling you, folks, they, you know, we don't. All this horoscopes and psychic networks, speaking to the dead, fortune telling, all that, they're all come straight out of hell. They'll lead you away from God to Satan. You know? Now, all of us are human. And there's no human in this world that doesn't need guidance. But you're not going to find true guidance from all those things in the world. The only place you're going to find that guidance is a commitment of your life to follow the ways of Jesus Christ. We read it a moment ago there in Proverbs. You trust the Lord with all your heart. You know, you do not acknowledge Him in all your ways. And you do not trust your own self. And He'll make your path straight. You know, literally what that meant is that He'll pave a road for you. He'll remove the rocks and the bumps and the troubles, and He'll give you guidance and wisdom as to where you need to go. And folks, I'm telling you something. The Bible says we want to know how to live. Go to God. James chapter 1 verse 5 said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and He'll give it to all men liberally who upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Jesus knows your past. He knows your present. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows what you're feeling. He knows all the things that are going on in your life. There's nothing that's hid from Him. Every thought, every idea, everything that's ever gone on and happened to you, every struggle you're going through physically, mentally, emotionally, He knows about it already. He knows all about your future. You don't have any idea what's going to happen in the next second. We walk out of this doors. We don't know what's going to happen and take place. We don't have a control over our future, but God knows it already. And I tell you, if you want to know where to go and how to walk, you have to trust God for the one step you have now, for the light He gives you for today, and you trust Him for that strength and for that guidance to be obedient to God in the day in which we live. Every one of us face temptations and sorrows and heartaches. And after our conversion, when we really trust Jesus and try to start living for Him, I tell you, it often gets worse because Satan goes on the attack. See, when he already owns us, he just lets us run our own course, face the consequences of our own actions. But when we get saved, truly saved, then he starts to attack us because he wants to win the victory in our lives, and he doesn't want us to be successful in living for Jesus. So he's going to try everything in his power to keep us from coming to him. But I'm telling you something, Jesus knows your need. And when he's forgiven your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross and given you the gift of eternal life, then the living presence of Jesus himself moves into your heart. He lives inside of you. He dwells in your body. He dwells in your life. And if we trust him day by day, he will give us strength and guidance to make the decisions we need to make today. Now, are we going to fail? Sometimes. Why? Because we've trusted our own way instead of his. And when we do, we have to start over sometime. But what do? We ask God to forgive us. We turn away from that sin. We ask God to forgive us for trusting ourselves and not trusting Him. And so we get up and begin a fresh new day with a new sense of commitment and obedience to say, okay, God, I failed you yesterday, but today I'm going to be obedient to you. And I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to live for you. I'm going to walk in your way. I'm going to be your witness. I'm going to be obedient as I understand obedience. Now, God will lead us to more and more understanding as we do that, as we make that commitment. Then our obedience becomes greater and greater and greater because our understanding of what God wants us to do grows as we live. But folks, as we walk that path of growth in the Christian life, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the guidance. Every need we have today, Jesus is ready to supply. He's alive. He's real. And He can help us. When things become too complex for us and the burdens become too great, there's strength, there's help. Folks, He will meet our need. He's the only one who can. Peter said, where do we go? Where else you going to go? Where else you going to turn? Every person needs forgiveness of sin. Every person needs to get strength and guidance to live the life. And then every person needs hope for the future. That's eternal life. And folks, who can give you that? Jesus is the only one. The assurance that you know Jesus Christ is what's going to give you the strength to live with eternal perspective in your life and to be obedient to Him. You know, Jesus has even conquered death itself. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, says, but we see him who was made a little lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, he's been crowned with glory and with honor. And so by grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. He's already paid the price of death for us. And then verse 14, it says, therefore, since the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless them who had the power of death, that is the devil. Folks, I'm telling you, we don't have to fear death. David called it the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus has already conquered death. In this world, we just kind of walk through the shadows. The real thing's already over. He's already paid the price. And he's guaranteed us, if we know him as Savior and Lord, that when we step out of this world, folks, we step into eternity. That, and if I don't give you hope, then folks, you don't, where else you gonna go? Where else you gonna go? There is no hope, you know. If you're a Muslim man, you might have 72 virgins waiting on you. If you believe that, you're gonna wake up in the fires of hell. Jesus is the only hope you got. Everybody's not going to heaven. All these false religions who believe in all these other gods, you know, they say, well, God's not too good to send people to hell. Well, God is good. He's so good that he loved you enough to send his son to die for you. Then he says to you, I'm the only way. If you want to know me, then you come and trust me. That's the only way, folks. You're not getting there any other way except through Jesus. That's it. But when you trust Jesus, there's hope for the future. There's an eternity that's waiting on you. Beyond description, he said, we can't even describe or imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. Folks, there's hope. We need that forgiveness. We need that hope. And Jesus Christ is it. We don't have to worry about the salvation if we've come to Jesus, because he's taken care of our salvation. You know. Jesus told disciples, this is the will of God, that you believe on him who sent me. And Peter said, these are the words of eternal life. Jesus said, neither is the salvation any other, for no other man, for there's none other name under heaven, none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. He's it. The salvation is settled. Peter said, Father, you've given us your word. Jesus said this in John 10. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. They follow me. And I'll give to them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. But my Father which gave them to me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Folks, whatever our need is, Jesus Christ is the one who meets that need. He is the only one. So we need to ask ourselves the question, number one, are we absolutely certain today we know Jesus? If not, we need to trust him, need to settle it. Second is, are we committed to him? Are we willing to be obedient to him? Are we willing on this day, the day God's given us, to say, I'm going to recommit myself to God and say, Lord, from today on, I want to be obedient to you. I'm going to trust your guidance, walk in your path with a renewal and a commitment in our life to be obedient to you. He's the only one that can meet our need. And he stands with outstretched arms saying, I'll receive you. I'll save you. I'll guide you. I'll carry you to heaven when you die. He's the only one who can. Father, we pray this morning that you will speak to our hearts. If we're not saved, then Father, convict us of that and bring us to that place we'll trust you. And if we are your child and we've not been living like we need to, not been faithful in attendance and our lifestyle and our giving and our faithfulness to you, we pray, Father, that you'll draw us to yourself this morning. that we'll renew our commitment to you and say, this is the day that we're going to trust God. In Jesus' name, we ask it. I don't know what God may have said to you this morning, but I tell you, His Spirit speaks to us. His Spirit is here. His Spirit's in your life. If you need to make a decision, then I ask you to come. If you need to trust Him, do it. If you need to renew your life, maybe you don't want to talk to me about it at all, but you can talk to God. You can come down here and kneel at this altar, do whatever. Settle some things with God. As God speaks to your heart. So you make a commitment to be faithful. What about Sunday night, Wednesday nights? You know, give up our time, our efforts, our money, our resources, whatever. Say, God, I'm going to be faithful to you. Trust you. Trust your guidance. Trust your word. There are opportunities available every week, and we don't take them. It's time to say, God, I'm going to renew my commitment to you. And I'm going to be faithful to you. This is the day I declare it. Will you do it?
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.